Amen. We are excited for the HFC Vision Conference coming up here at the end of October. And this is going to be an awesome time, even as Naomi had talked about before, where we get to really celebrate what God is doing in us as a congregation and really talk about, have like a congregational conversation about how God is working in us and through us. And so I hope that you will even now begin making plans to be a part of that. It's going to be a really exciting time together. Today is also one of those really exciting times together. We're going to start a new sermon series today called Reset. And the whole idea here is that there's a lot of different ways in which we kind of find ourselves in different routines, right? And when we get into those summer months in particular, usually some of those routines just go out the door, right? Between summer vacations and kids being not in school and all those kinds of things, right? And so then we get back into the fall and kids are going back to school, vacations are over, we're getting back into whatever normal is supposed to look like, you know? And the reality is that sometimes what that normal looks like is not all that great, right? Sometimes the normal that we have and the routines that we just see, it seems like we've just always been in for so long. Those routines are not really providing for us what we know that we need in our lives, right? And so we find ourselves sometimes just living in discouragement because that's just where we've been for the last, I mean, that's just sort of the routine we're in, right? We find ourselves living in hopelessness and just even maybe loneliness and just struggling in different ways. And what I want us to begin to wonder about, to begin to look into is what might it look like if we decided to reset some of those routines, to reset how we see ourselves, to reset like how God is interacting in our lives and how we are interacting with Him. What if we were able to reset everything and just allow God to do what He wants to do in our lives? What if we actually let God be in control of our routines? What if we let God be in control of how we feel? Oh, come on, somebody. Like, what if we let God say who we are and what we should do? Like, I wonder what kind of impact that might have on our lives if we just found a way somehow to reset what we've been doing into something that maybe could be a lot more productive. Right? That maybe could lead us into some places where we'd really like to be. I want you to know now is the perfect time for a reset. Now is the perfect time, right? And what I mean by that is there's always going to be a reason not to do it, right? There's always going to be a reason why it's not the perfect time. There's always going to be a reason why it's inconvenient. Like, well, I don't really have time to submit myself to God right now. I don't really have time to be evaluating how all this stuff is going. Like, you don't know how busy things are at work. Like, I can't be resetting, like, how I see myself there. Like, I don't have time for all that. I just want you to know now is the perfect time because there's never going to be a perfect time. Now is the perfect time because you're in a position where you can hear from the Lord even right now, right? And that makes it the perfect time even right now. So as I've done almost every Sunday since being back from sabbatical, I feel like I need to tell another sabbatical story, right? So while I was on sabbatical, my family and I, we were able to spend a lot of family time together, right? And if... And in that, what, like, we did some really fun stuff, right? Like, for real, like, it was really, really cool. Like, we did some, like, whitewater rafting, we did zip lining, we went some hiking, we were, like, in, like, anyway, we were way too close to a live moose, which is enormous, by the way, if you've never actually seen a moose. Like, anyway, I digress. The point is, like, we did a lot of really cool, fun stuff. We went to the Grand Canyon, like, saw, like took some fun pictures, all that kind of, like, we had a lot of fun. However, we were with each other a lot, right? We were with each other a lot, and I think we were kind of all, like, at a spot where it's like, this has been fun and all, but, thank you, yeah, And so, like toward the end of the summer, and you know, toward the end of the sabbatical and all that kind of stuff, like I was actually getting kind of worried. Like, oh man, like we went the wrong direction on this whole thing, right? Because we were around each other so much that it was just like, ah, like we were all just at the end of our rope, right? And then school starts, and I'm like, oh man, I can't even imagine how this is going to get worse, right? Because of all the stress of school, and then they're going to have homework and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just telling you right now. Day one of school, and our whole family was different. Whole family was different, right? It's amazing how from where we were all around each other. Like, we had sort of our daily routine, even as we were home for the summer and everything. And we had all the schedule, like figured out, chore charts, the whole deal and everything like that. The first day of school in our family was totally different. It's interesting how, like, sometimes what we really need is just to be around some new people at some new times, right? In some new places, right? And when we all had that, we felt the change immediately, right? See, I just wonder if that's not kind of where we are in our lives sometimes too, right? Like we've just been in the same routines, we've been doing the same thing that we think is working, but the reality is we also know it's not, right? But we just keep doing that because that's what's on the chore chart. We got to check the boxes off the list, right? But the reality is maybe what we really need is to be around some new people at some new times and some new places. Maybe we just need to kind of think about things a little bit differently so that we can reset some new things in our lives. So what can reset? What could that reset look like for us? Well, today, that's what we're going to dive into a little bit. We're going to be in Psalm 51, and we'll get there in a minute. We're going to look at, like how is it that we can kind of begin to reset some things in ourselves first? Next week, we're actually going to look at how we can reset our purpose, right? Sometimes I think we sort of lose the fact that we do have a purpose in this life, right? And so we're going to look at, like, how can we find that? How can we discover that? How can we reset that purpose, right? Because sometimes the world and our history will tell us our purpose is one thing, and that may not necessarily be the case. And then the third week, we're going to look at some of the priorities that we hold in our lives. Like, what is it that is actually first in our lives? And do we maybe need to reset, like, the order of things there? Do we maybe need to reset how things are there? So, before we jump into Psalm 51 here today, if you would, just pray with me. God, we do thank you so much for the opportunity to be together today. We recognize, God, that you are present here with us. And we ask, Father, that you would just speak into our lives in a mighty and powerful way. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone. God, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, Father, that you would speak to each and every one of us, including myself, Father, and that you would help us all to have the courage to say yes to you, whatever that might look like, whatever that might mean, help us to say yes to you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What I want to do today is I want to look at how we might need to reset our own hearts. Before we even start looking at our purpose and the priorities that we have and everything, we really have to start by looking at ourselves, looking inside to see how we might need to reset some things inside of us before we can begin to build on some of those things. The reality is that we, just as human being people, we have some heart issues, right? Selena Gomez even has a song that says, the heart wants what it wants, right? And it sure does. Whether that's good or bad, it wants what it wants, right? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's a real good question right there. Sometimes we know what's in our heart, and we don't even know why it's there. We're looking at ourselves like, why in the world did I do that? I don't know, right? That's sort of a common question and answer that we have going around our house sometimes is, why did you do that? I don't know. I don't know, right? Sometimes I'm the one saying it. I don't know. I don't know why I did that. I don't know. In Psalm 51, I want to read for you the first five verses there. And as we do, like as you might be turning there, if you've got your Bibles with you, feel free to turn there. The verses will be up on the screens as well. This is a response. Psalm 51 is a response to the situation between King David and Bathsheba, right? And so, first of all, let me just say, if you aren't in a community group, like, you really missed out this week, right? Like I'm just letting you know, like processing, because in community groups this week, we're actually processing that story of King David and Bathsheba, and like all the sort of the implications of that sin, right? And so David sees Bathsheba, who is not his wife, is somebody else's wife. They end up hooking up, and she gets pregnant, and all the stuff that goes with that. And her husband, like, David ends up having him killed, just so that it's messy. It's super, super crazy messy. And Nathan the prophet comes to David and in a really sly, awesome way, tells him, like, you messed up, bro. Like, you messed up bad, right? And then in response to what David did, and as a response of just the recognition of what he's done and even seeking the Lord in that, he writes Psalm 51, right? And so let me read for you here, Psalm 51, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love and according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So let me use these verses here to kind of jump into some of the issues that we have going on in our heart, all right? So the first one, I actually want to start at the end here where David says that he was sinful at birth, right? So the theological understanding with that is that we were all born with a sin nature. In other words, what that means is we all have this like bent towards sin, right? It was funny, I was talking to somebody just earlier this morning, like, you don't have to teach kids how to sin, right? Like, we didn't have to teach you how to sin either, right? Like, don't just put that on kids. Like we've all been there. Like, nobody had to teach you how to do wrong. Like, that just came naturally, right? And so we refer to that as our sin nature, and it goes all the way back to, like, Adam and Eve and that original sin, and part of the consequences of that original sin is that we are born into this sin nature, right? We all have these tendencies, these temptations, these things that we have this bent kind of away from God and towards selfishness. I mean, that's really what it is. We want to do things. We want to be God of our lives. That's really what it is. We want to be God of our lives. And so we want to make decisions that we think are best for us instead of actually submitting to what we know and believe that God wants for us. And so we have this sin nature about us that just kind of gets us to veer off course, like, very, very naturally, right? David also talks about the fact that his sin is, he says, my sin is always before me. Amen. That's what it'll do. It'll make you super dark. Right? Like that my sin is always before me. In other words, what David is saying there is not only does he have that sin nature about himself, but he has also made some choices that were sinful as well. Right? Like, yeah, he recognizes, yeah, I was sinful at birth. Like, I have felt that bent towards sin, but I have also made my own choices that have led to the consequences of sin. Like not only am I just reaping the consequences of Adam and Eve and original sin and all those kinds of things, but I've also made my own choices that have led to where I am, right? And we're all there, right? We all have that bent, but we have all also made our own choices, right? Our hearts have been wounded from the start, but they've also been made worse by us. You see that? By our own choices, but by what we've done. Now, one of the things that is not specifically stated in here, but which is implied in here, is that there's also Bathsheba in this whole story, right? And she's the woman who whose husband was eventually killed because of the decisions that David had made. And so she's having to deal, like, her heart, the woundedness of her heart, is not only through the bent towards sin, which she would also have as well. Like, we all have that sin nature, right? And it's not only toward the choices that are made, and whether it was in this situation or another, like, even Bathsheba had sin in her life somewhere, right? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all made those choices. But her heart also had a wounding in that other people's sin had consequences in her life, right? Other people's choices impacted her life negatively. And so she has to, she's got to figure out, like, how it is that she's going to deal with that woundedness as well. Church, we're all in that same boat. We all have that bent towards sin. We've all made those choices that that were not pleasing to God. And probably most of us have also experienced what it is to be hurt by somebody else. That we've had our hearts wounded by the sinful choices of other people. But the reality is that life just keeps on moving, doesn't it? Life doesn't stop to wait for you to get your heart ready, right? Work still starts on Monday, right? Kids still need stuff to be done. Spouse is still there. Like all these things are still going on. Life just keeps happening. And so many times what we do is, in light of that bent towards sin, and in light of those sinful choices that we've made, and in light of that hurt that we have, and in light of the fact that we can't really do anything about it, or we feel like we can't do anything about it right now, we just pretend like it's not there and just move on with life. And that's where our routines come in. See, because those routines make us feel like life is good. Oh, well, I get up, I go to work, I go home, I go to bed, successful day, right? Oh, I might even stop for a smoothie or a milkshake. Ooh, that's icing on the cake right there, right? And then we have these routines that we get into, and we think, well, as long as I just stay in the routine, then everything is fine, right? As long as I stay in the routine, then it's super predictable, and I don't have to worry about what's coming next. But the reality is that those routines are not helping us actually live the life that God has for us. All we're doing is pretending like our woundedness is not there. We're pretending like we don't have a bent towards sin. We're pretending like the choices that we've made aren't actually impacting our lives today. We're pretending like the choices of other people haven't wounded us, when the reality is that all of that is there, even when we pretend it's not. And so we get into these routines, we get into these schedules and these habits, and we do all this just so we can feel better about moving on. And hey, at least I had this little success about getting to work and home today, right? See, I just wonder, like, maybe there's more that God has for us. Maybe this is why we really need this reset. Because the God doesn't just want us to push that aside and just find a way to get through life. No, what he wants for you is to be able to experience the victory that can only come in Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, we've got to reset our lives. We've got to recognize that these routines that we're in may not be the best for us. And maybe there are some other things that we need to get ourselves into that actually lead us to him, instead of making us believe that we really don't need him. Right? So, how do we do that? What do we need to do in order to actually experience that kind of reset in our lives? How can we begin to make steps in that direction? So Psalm 51, skip down to verse 10 for me. I want to read a few verses for you there. And we're just going to go through this, like, verse by verse in these verses. So Psalm 51, starting in verse 10. And David says, again, this is David's response to God in light of everything that happened with Bathsheba. It says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." See, the first thing that we have to do, if we really want to reset in our lives, if we really want to see some things change in our hearts, right? If we want to see some things change at the core of who we are, the first thing that we have to do is accept the fact that only God can reset our hearts. Right? Because notice here, David didn't say, Lord, help me create a pure heart inside myself. He did not say that. He didn't say, help me to renew a steadfast spirit within. No, no, no. He's saying to God, I need you to do something miraculous in me. I need you to take the heart that I have and change it. I need you to take that bent towards sin and change it. I need you to take the choices that I've made and change it. Like, I need you to take whatever wounding has happened to me and change it. Like we can't do that on our own. And we all know it because we've tried. And the reality is, we can't do it. We're not good at it. We weren't designed for it. We'll get into purpose next week, but part of your purpose is not fixing yourself. You can't do it. It's just not possible. You weren't created to do that. So take the burden off of yourself and simply accept the reality that God is the only one who can reset your heart. He's the only one who can help you go from where you are to where you really need to be. He's the only one who can lead you into receiving the forgiveness that he has for you, relieving you of the consequences of your sin and making a brand new person out of you. Like, only God can do that. Only God can reset your heart. And until we understand that he's the only one, the only thing that we are going to create for ourselves is more problems. Because we're really good at that. That goes back to that whole sin nature thing, right? Like, we are super good at making things worse. Ask me how I know, right? Let me just tell you, we wouldn't have to go back 6 hours to figure it out. We are really good at making it worse. What we need is a Savior who can change us, who can reset our hearts. Verse 11 then, David goes on to say, do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. One of the things that we have to do is we have to stay in the presence of God and actually listen for what it is that he might want to tell us, right? If we really want our hearts to be reset, if we recognize that life is not producing for us what we really want, right? It's not leading us into things like peace and joy, right? And forgiveness and freedom and all these kinds of things. If we recognize that, then what we've got to do is we've got to push into his presence to hear a word from him. And here's why I say this. Because when we do dumb stuff, It's really easy, let me say it that way. When we do dumb stuff, it's really easy to assume that God doesn't want you around him. Right? So we do dumb things, and then we stop reading our Bible. We do dumb things, and we don't show up for worship. We do dumb things, and we don't talk to believers that we know, because we know if we do, like, they're probably going to say something about Jesus or whatever. They're going to ask, how can I pray for you? And I don't want to lie to them right now, right? Right? I mean, again, that's part of that sin nature. It's a natural bent that we have, that when we do dumb stuff, we tend to isolate ourselves. And again, I'm just speaking for myself today, all right? Maybe you don't experience this. Maybe this is not your testimony. But this is super my testimony. And the reality is that even when we make choices that are not honoring God, he still wants us to push into his presence. Let me just help you with something here real quick, all right? If there is distance between you and God, it is not because he's left you. Okay? It's not. And it's really important that you hear that today. Some will try to tell you that the sin in your life has actually caused this distance from God that will actually, you know, that'll make you feel like you can't get back to him. I want you to know God's arm is not short, all right? He's not just sitting down here like, oh, I wish I could get to him. No, God can snatch you up anytime he wants to. What he needs is for you to turn around and face him. He needs you to stop turning your back on him. He needs you to stop walking away from him. Part of resetting our heart is recognizing God wants to see you. And I think maybe that's just the hard thing that we struggle with sometimes, is the enemy will try to convince us that because of the choices we've made, that God is no longer interested in seeing us. And the reality is, he is. He still loves you. and he wants to see your face. He wants to see you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. He's not left you. He wants you in his presence, right? But even like with David here, he was fearful that the presence of God would leave him, right? But he was intentional to press into that presence. If we want to reset our hearts, if we want to experience forgiveness, if we want to experience wholeness, if we want to experience that change in our daily lives that we need to actually live in a way that is going to honor God, then we've got to push into his presence, not fall away from it. And he'll be faithful to meet us there. Verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." If we really want our hearts reset, right? If we want to see different things in our lives, then we have to be intentional about letting Jesus change us, right? We've got to be intentional about letting Jesus change us. David didn't have joy, but he wanted to reset the joy that God's reset the joy of God's salvation in his life. He didn't have a willing spirit, but he wanted to reset that spirit that would sustain him even through hard times. This is the fallacy that I need all of us to kind of recognize and get through here, is that you don't have to have what you need in order for Jesus to provide it for you, right? Like, just think about how backwards that is. I mean, we've been talking the last 7 weeks about the paradoxes and everything, about how some things appear not to go together, and you know what? Some things just plain don't go together, right? But sometimes we will convince ourselves that if we don't have a certain quality in our lives, like if we're not seeking after God, then we can't follow after God, and he won't be there for us in hard times. But the reality is that Jesus can change us. Jesus can change our hearts. Jesus can give us a spirit of willingness. Jesus can change the direction of our lives. He can change how we feel. He can change how we think. He can change what we do. He can change everything about our lives, right? But we only get changed through our submission to Jesus. We have to recognize what we don't have. And we need to look to him, and we need to ask him for it. He is faithful to provide. So let me give you a few practical tools here for what it could look like to reset your heart. And actually, before I do that, let me give you an example here of how we did some simple stuff even in our own home that like changed everything. I talked about the school year this year, how we got started. Last year, one of the things that we noticed was that, all the kids were waking up at the same time. Everybody was eating breakfast at the same time. Everybody's brushing teeth at the same time. Everybody's getting dressed at the same time. They're finding shoes at the same time. They're packing lunches at the same time. All of that, they're all in the same space all the time. You can imagine how well that went, right? And Beth came up with this glorious idea of, like, what if we just had one of them wake up a little bit earlier? So that one's done with breakfast before the next one gets there, and then can go on and get dressed while the other one's eating breakfast, and then can come down and find shoes while the other one's getting dressed, so that nobody's in the same space. There's not all of us in the kitchen packing lunch at the same time. Like, we're all in different. It was a half an hour change in one person's schedule, and mornings completely changed in our home. Completely changed. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I think that there may be some really practical things like that, even for us, that if we could just do some little what I would call little tweaks. They seem little, but they have huge consequences, like huge effects in our lives. If we could do just what might appear to be some little things, I think we can actually see some really big effects in how we live and how we feel in our hearts, right? So the first that again will seem small but will be an absolutely huge effect is we need to be people who repent, right? Now that's just sort of a churchy word to say. We have to change direction, That's literally what repentance means, is we need to change direction. In other words, if your schedule is leading you this way, and you know that that's not leading you toward God, then we need to repent, we need to change direction and go a different way that actually leads us toward God, right? And that when we do that, he will meet us in that change of direction. He will be able to bring things to us like forgiveness and healing and wholeness and even understanding about how we need to progress throughout our lives and that kind of stuff. See, sin, sort of the literal understanding of what sin is sin is this idea of just missing a mark. Imagine a bullseye, right? And you throw a dart at it and everything, and if you throw darts like I do, you're just thankful you hit the wall, right? I wish that was a joke. You're just thankful you hit the wall. Now you're aiming kind of for the bullseye. Like for me, I don't really know how to aim for the bullseye other than just look and throw, right? But it's not hitting the mark. It's not hitting the mark. That's this idea of sin. Whether I'm going at the right goal or not, I'm not actually hitting the goal I'm supposed to, right? And repentance just means that, okay, well, if I'm aiming in a way that's not hitting the mark, then repentance is changing the direction of my aiming in order that I can actually hit the mark, right? That's what we want to do. Like feeling depressed and anxious and defeated is not the mark that God has for us in our lives, right? He has so much more for us. Continuing to walk into decisions that we know are going to be harmful for us is not the mark that God has for our lives, right? But the good news is that if we change direction, if we repent, right? If we turn from one routine, one schedule, one normalcy, and we go to this other thing, this new place, these new people, these new schedules, new routines. Like if we can reset some of those things, if we change that direction, we may actually see some really positive fruit in our lives. But it starts with repentance, right? Which starts in prayer of just saying, Lord, like help me change my life, and he'll meet you in that. But it is also an actual change of direction. Like we make different decisions. Repentance is shown in the decisions that we make. The second thing is that I think it would be really important to actually reset your schedule and to reset that schedule around a relationship with God. Right? And here's what's really interesting about this. You can do this even before you have a relationship with God. How can you do that, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked, right? So like, for example, maybe you're not even really sure that you entirely believe what the Bible says. You can still set up a routine where you read your Bible every day. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's what's awesome about that, and here's why you might want to consider that. It's because as you read God's word, he's going to begin to show you some things that you've never seen before. Amen. He is. And you don't have to believe it's real for it to change your life. That's what's so amazing about God's word. Even in terms of prayer, I know this is going to blow your mind. You don't have to believe that God is in order to pray to him. Right? Hear me now. You can actually talk to God, and I believe that if you take that step, I believe you're going to begin to see some things. I believe he's going to respond to you even if you don't necessarily even believe that he's there, right? Trust me, you start talking to God, and he's going to start talking back to you. And it's going to mess you all up. It will. And you don't have to, you don't have to wait to do that. You can do that. You can begin to just take that practical step of talking to God, even if you're not really sure if he's there or not, right? The last thing that I want to sort of encourage you with is to actually sort of reset your network around time with God's people, like around with the church, right, and with other people who are seeking after Jesus. I mentioned community groups earlier and everything like that. Like, you just need to know, these groups where we are able to process God's word together, I'm just telling you right now, it's changing my life, right? And the way that we're able to share and just be really transparent and vulnerable with each other about how God's word is speaking in our lives is absolutely changing me. And I don't want you to miss out on that. So many times I think we think, well, I can just fix it myself. Like, I can just reset my own heart and everything. And I just want you to know it's like, maybe you can. That's according to God's word, that's not really the most effective way to do that. And actually, according to God's word, there's, you're not actually going to be able to do that. Like, it's just, we're just designed to be in community. Like, we're designed to do this together. Like, God raised up the church for us to be an encouragement for each other. And you don't have to know everybody in the church. You don't have to spill your beans to everybody out here. But I'm just telling you right now, it's super helpful to have a few people that you can just be real with, right? Because otherwise, we just stay in those same old routines of being fake, just doing our own stuff. And we never actually see the change that we desperately, desperately need in our lives. So let me throw out a couple of questions to you here before we go today. The first is, like, what are some ways that your life needs a reset? Right? Think about this now. Think about this. What are some ways that your life needs a reset? It's important that we stop long enough to really process this, because the easy thing to do is to just skip to the next question. Right? Oh, I'm good. Are you sure? And again, maybe it's just that bent that we have towards sin. Maybe it's some choices that we're making. Maybe it's something that somebody else has done to us. Like, there's a lot of different ways that our heart can just be all out of whack, right? But in order for us to really get our hearts reset on what God would have for us, we really got to identify, like, where is it that we need a reset in our heart? We got to identify that. We got to call it what it is. We got to say it out loud, right? The second question then is just, what's one thing that you can commit to today to reset your heart toward Jesus? What's one thing? I don't need you to have a seminary degree by the end of the week, like, right? I don't need you to take 100 steps today. I just need you to take one. What is one step that you can take to reset your heart toward Jesus even today, right? For some, it might be, you know what? I just want to take the step of becoming a Christian today. I want to take the step of actually being a Jesus follower, of putting my faith in Jesus. I want to let the world know that I'm following after him now. And one of the things that we do as a church to celebrate that is to actually have a baptism, right? Where we show people that, we show anybody who would want to be here, like I'm no longer going along my own way. No. I let Jesus reset my heart, and now I've got this whole other life. And so maybe the one step that you want to take today is to actually, like, become a Jesus follower, to put your faith in him and to say, you know what, I'm going to be baptized in order to let everybody know, like, I'm a Jesus follower now, right? Maybe your step is that you're just going to come back next week, right? Maybe this is your first time here and you weren't really sure about this whole church or whatever like that, but somebody else invited you and so you showed up. And maybe the step that you need to take is just to commit to, you know what, I'm going to be back next week. I'm going to try to set up a routine of at least 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to find myself in a worship service. Maybe that's the step that you need to take. Maybe it's a matter of, like you recognize that God is doing some things and teaching you some things, and maybe there's somebody that God has in your life that needs to hear what we're talking about even right now. Maybe your step is to actually talk to somebody later on today about what it is that God is teaching you. Maybe there's a change in your schedule that you need to make. Maybe there's a new routine that you need to center God in those routines. Whatever it is, think about that. What is one step you can take today to reset your heart toward Jesus? Church, I'm excited for how God is going to be working in us and changing us and moving us, but we have to be willing to submit ourselves to him. How is it that you will reset yourself toward him? If you would, stand with me. The worship team is going to come on forward, and I want to pray with you as they're coming up. Lord God, I just thank you so much for your presence here in our lives. I thank you, God, for the way that you are challenging us. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us. I thank you, God, that you are able to change us in the ways that we need the most. Help us, God, that we would be willing to say yes to you even now. God, change our hearts. Help us to follow you, whatever that might look like. Help us, Lord, to follow you and to trust you in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.